Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle. This is my friend and associate and partner, Alfonso Rachel. This is the Virtue Signal. You probably know the drill by now. Zoe, we were doing right angles earlier this week, and you were kind enough to sit in for Scott Ott. And I don't remember which one of the shows it was, but you mentioned something that really stayed with me a lot the last couple of days. Mm. We were talking about, you know, having to watch all of these catastrophes. The Afghanistan catastrophe is just the latest in a string of just these, you know, almost unbelievable events in the world. And you said that, as far as you're concerned, you draw a line in the sand. And essentially, if I understood you correctly, what you say is you'll step across that line to go out and engage with the world and do what you have to do to do your part to try and stop these people. But comes a point when you'll step behind that line and nothing gets across that line. In other words, you found a way to psychologically build a buffer for yourself, and that you can withdraw behind that buffer. It's not the same as giving up. It's not the same as saying, oh, I don't care anyone. None of that. It's just like, okay, this is how far I will let these people bother me, and no further. They're not going to ruin my life. They're not going to ruin my day. And I've heard so many comments from so many patriots in the last, I mean, obviously for years now, and especially in the last 7-8 months, but especially in the last 2 weeks, where they simply can't believe what they're seeing. So I thought maybe we could talk about this idea of a line in the sand, a sense that we have to do what we have to do to protect ourselves psychologically, because this is psychological warfare. This, no one's ever attempted this before, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know in history. No one's ever attempted to overthrow a civilization through through the culture, through information. They've always used guns, and that's why we have guns. But this is something completely different. And I often think that a lot of the stuff that's going on out there is attributable to just plain stupidity and incompetence and arrogance and greed and all the rest of these things. But I often think that what really the end goal of this inversion of the world is to make rational, normal people crazy. I really think that's it. Either completely crazy to the point where they don't believe anything about anything, or more likely to live in a state of just despair and abandonment and resignation. And I actually think that's what their main objective is. I think that's what they're counting on. So can you tell me a little more about what you mean by when you say you draw a line in the sand?
Indeed, man. It does kind of feel like they're trying to put us in a global rubber room, ain't it?
Yeah.
But yeah. It was the saying, man. It's like, I'm not retreating, I'm reloading.
It's like, I'm advancing towards the rear.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to check out of the world, man. It's, you know, as the word tells us, man, it's like, look, we're not trying to be steeped in the world, not of the world. You know, you get caught up in the world, man, and the world is going to, it'll make you crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good either. You know, we want to be practical about all these things, have a practical approach to it. And, you know, drawing a line in the sand, you know, I don't want to bury my head in the sand. I don't want to be checked out from the world. I don't want to pretend like none of this stuff exists. You know, we're not, this is, you know, we're grown, man. This ain't pretend time.
If I understood you correctly, the thing that interests me is this idea that you have to protect your own sanity by being able to disengage from these fights without surrendering.
Absolutely, and this translates into lots of things. But if we're looking at it from our own internal aspect, you know, emotionally, mentally, yeah, you definitely indeed have to draw a line and say, okay, you guys are really intruding. I mean, this is an invasion.
It's an invasion. It is an invasion.
Right?
Now that's exactly the word I'm looking for.
Yes, and that's why it's. It's difficult to narrow this down to like one thing because it's an invasion on so many fronts, Bill. It's an invasion on our territory. It's an invasion, of course, on our rights. It's an invasion of the marketplace. It's an invasion of our psyche. It's an invasion
It's an invasion of sense, not only of our sense of reality, but any sense that reality
absolutely
exists. Rule of law, what was that? That's a quaint idea.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's designed to make us nuts.
Yes, absolutely. And designed to divide us in so many ways. Yeah. I mean, Bill, we're divided. People are, even when we talk about internally, people are even divided on whether they're a man or a woman. I mean, people are becoming divided from their occupations. It's like they can't separate or it's like they can't separate, but at the same time, their ability to not be able to separate it is the thing that's the very thing that's tearing them apart.
So how do you protect yourself? How do you do it emotionally? How do you create this line in the sand for yourself to protect yourself from this lunacy and at the same time not just disengage and run away?
The best answer, Bill, that I have come to find is that the word says put on the full armor of God. Put on the helmet of truth, right? Put on that breastplate of salvation. Put on your belt of righteousness. You got to gird up, right? You got to gird up your loins. You got to be ready to fight, and you got to be able to fight for your sanity. So, you know, I examine the word of God, Bill, and none of this stuff should be a surprise to us. None of this stuff should be this thing where, wow, I didn't see this coming. God's like, I've been warning you about this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
From the get-go.
It shouldn't be a surprise.
It should not be a surprise. When the Lord says, hey, how valuable is it for you to protect yourself? I'm telling you that you need to go sell your cloak and buy a sword, right? That's how important it is. It's almost better for you to just be naked than to be disarmed, right? Go ahead. You know what I'm saying? This is where God is coming from. And I want you to wield that sword in truth. I want you to load up them guns with the gospel. Because these are the things that is what keep us sane. If we don't have a foundation, if we don't have a filter on how to perceive these things, Bill, it can mean whatever we want, and anybody can assume to be that, oh, we're the champions of safety. We're the champions of your security. These people will assume in their Messiah complex, and the Lord tells us, hey, there's going to be a lot of fakers out there assuming that they've got your salvation in check, right? And the Lord's saying, that's not me. That's not where I'm coming from. And be careful that you don't go down that road. These people will do the things in their assumed righteousness, and they will lead you to death. So these are the things that I balance these things on, Bill. This is my filter, to make sure that I can examine these things and say that and read where it says there's nothing new under the sun. These things that we're dealing with, this isn't new. This should not be a surprise to us. And as in this generation where we are so informed, there should be no excuse to be going through this again.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to talk about this today is because, you know, like any decent, you know, sergeant or captain or anything, you know, you spend a lot of times, if you're in a trench, you're looking at what the enemy's doing. But a good leader is also looking at his own troops, you know. He's listening to what people are saying. He's trying to you know, squash rumors, trying to keep morale up. And this is the reason I wanted to talk about this today. You know, it's going to be a tough argument to say that there was any worse conflict than World War I in terms of just sheer misery, not the least of which was that you basically had to build barricades out of dead bodies, among other things. So the trench warfare in World War I, in my opinion, was as bad as it got. And even then, they would rotate units in and out of the front. You would do 3 days on the front, 2 or 3 days, and then you would be relieved and you'd go to the rear for 3 or 4 days and recover from the horror, those of you that survived. Mm. And if you didn't do that, you would go completely just nuts. You'd become combat ineffective is the way I'm thinking about it. And so what I really wanted to talk about today was for the people who are on our team, who are watching this and feel this, just it's just eating them away. You know, comes a point, I think, and I think you should do this every day personally, where I think it's just good mental hygiene in a battle that is being waged against your sanity, to come to either a time of day or a point in the day or whatever when you say to yourself, all right, I'm off duty now. I'm not leaving. I'm not running away. I'm not surrendering. I'm not doing any of those things. I am going to spend some time away from the front. I'm going to enjoy my TV show, or I'm going to go fishing, or I'm going to whatever, and I'm not going to take them with me. I'm not taking them with me when I go fishing. I'm not taking them with me when I hang out, watch a movie with my wife. I'm not taking them with me when I do any of these things. I'm seeing more and more our own soldiers, our own patriots, becoming consumed by this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's making them weaker. And we can't afford that. It's not a question of even, I don't want that. We can't afford it. So if you're one of the people watching the show, I hear this all the time. It's like, what's going on? And I'm with you on this. But in order for us to be able to fight back against an assault on sanity, there has to come a point to do what Zoe said. Like I said, I've been thinking about it for 2 or 3 days now. This is a line I draw, and I'll step over this line and engage these people out here, but they don't get to me. I'll deal with the anger and the frustration and the rage and the sadness and the disbelief, all of it. I'll deal with it here, but I will come to a point when it's like today or for the weekend or whatever, I'm off duty, and they're not going to live in my head for free.
Now, Bill, man, you got down to the nitty gritty of it, man. You got, and see, now this is something that the Lord established very early on. Now, in the what people have come to believe is as the creation story, which is really more about the creation of man than it is about the earth. The earth is old, really old, and the Bible lets you know that the earth is really flipping old. But long story short, the seventh day, God's like, hey, it's kickback day. It's my day off.
That's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. We need a Sabbath from this lunacy.
Exactly.
We need an emotional, intellectual, and spiritual Sabbath from this onslaught.
Absolutely, man. It's like, this is my day. Don't mess with my day off. And God was really serious about this. But on that day, it's almost like God's work was just really just beginning, right? But here's the thing. The problem is, as we can see, man, because that rest wasn't valued, death was given dominion over man, right? That's how deep this goes. It's like, man, if you don't rest, if you don't take time to spend with the Lord. It's like, we want to know how all this stuff went, where, who we are, where we came from, where we're going, all this sort of stuff, the meaning of life. Well, let's consult with the author. Take time. And the commandment isn't just to rest. The commandment is to work for 6 days a week. You're going to work, right? Do your work. Be of service. Have a servant mindset. And then after those said, rest. And I'm talking complete rest. And when the Lord wants rest, he's like, look, man, I mean it. You rest. Your animals rest. Your servants rest. Your machines rest. Everything rest. And yeah. Contemplate. Contemplate on me. I will teach you. So
I want to just, let me just elaborate on that just for 1 second, just because I'm going exactly the same direction you're going, but I just kind of want to sharpen this up a little bit for the modern mind to the degree that I can, right? Mm. Today we look at the weekend, we thought the weekend, and we work a 40-hour week as a general rule. So it's an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, and Saturday and Sunday is the weekend, no big deal. But the thing that people really need to remember is that when you had to work 7 days a week just to survive, when you were working 12, 14, 18-hour days just to grow enough food to survive, and everybody is right on the edge of survival, nevertheless, even then when every single second of effort counted, even then, that day off was holy, sacrosanct. You can't touch the Sabbath. And it's easy for us to say, oh, a weekend or a day off, whatever. You know, but this is so important. That it is something that people would put above their comfort, certainly, and in some cases above their survival. That's how important this is.
Indeed, man. And you know, the thing is, and just on a side note, the irony is you got a lot of these so-called progressives and liberals. They want to shorten the work week. You know, 40 hours is too. And the reason why, and the spiritual implications of that, Bill, is it flies right in the face of what the Lord says. No, 6 days a week shall you work. And then rest on the seventh. Have a servant's mindset. These people don't want to have a servant's mindset. They want to be served. And even if that means them being wards of the state where we have to be socially responsible to each other, which is an illusion over the state basically owning us. When people don't value what it means to rest, and they're so steeped in their ambitions or their leisure or their
hobbies or their interests or whatever.
And their hobbies and their interests seems to be self-righteous and lording over people and acting like they're so much better than everybody else. And we're being subject to that more and more. But the thing is, that is a big part of how the Lord himself was executed. He's like, look, this is the law that I give to you. You're supposed, and to make a religion based on this, this was never supposed to be. You have people who actually built a religion on this, and it led to the death of Christ himself. They killed him for working on it. Said, what are you doing? You're working on the Sabbath. And the Lord's like, what are you doing following me around trying to police me? If you're going to try to uphold this law, then you ain't got no business following me around assuming to give me a citation, right? So, but based on their self-righteousness and based on a distorted view of something that they based a religion off of, they ended up executing him for doing good on the Sabbath. And the Lord's like, what are you doing? You know, but it's like, yeah, I understand. You are.
But that's how serious the Sabbath was, though.
Yes.
That they would take those actions. Yeah. No, absolutely. Mm. I mean, it's absolutely right. And I'm really interested, too, in this idea of a servant's attitude, because Americans are proud people and they're free people. And the idea of being considered a servant is not something any of us likes. And none of us really are servants in the degree that we understand the term, even as little as 100 years ago. But. If I interpret that correctly, what that really means is a sense that I it's not a question of, gee, do you want to go to work, or gee, do I feel like going to work? This is what life is. This is the deal. The of all the things we've said on this show, the one thing you said that I just never leaves me, I use it all the time, is whenever I come to a situation like this, it's kind of unresolvable morally. You said, you know, early on in the show, you said, hey, man, we live on planet Earth. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. We live on planet Earth. Living on planet Earth means that you have to physically now, you have to consume nutrients, you have to do all of these things to maintain life, and that requires effort. Even if it's just the effort to go out and pick the berries or throw a spear at a rabbit or a mammoth, depending on how brave you are and what time you live, that isn't something that's optional. That's not an optional activity. And we are getting very, very intentionally driven to the idea that, no, you don't have to work. That's somebody else's problem. So that sense of conservatives understand that you have to work. That's one of the key concepts in conservatism, is the fundamental common sense, real world, you know, understanding that, no, we don't all get to ride. You know, ideally, the only people who get to ride are the people who are incapable of working. And those people, they used to call the deserving poor, whatever the case may be. I'm not trying to make them into villains in any sense. Those people are precious, and a civilization protects those people. But the idea that able-bodied people don't have to work is part of where I'm going with this, in terms of this intellectual, that's not intellectual, in terms of intellectually protecting yourself morally and spiritually. Fighting against what we're seeing out there is work. It's work. It requires enormous amounts of spiritual and emotional reserves to go out there and face the destruction of all these things that not only that we love, but that not only that protect us, but actually protects the people who's working to destroy it. And because it's work, we have to understand the absolute critical importance of being able to take emotional and spiritual Sabbath. And frankly, in my opinion, I think in this case, that's something we need to do every day. I think every day. I think when I see what's happening out there, I'm not saying we're falling apart. I'm seeing tension and stress levels rise to the point where it's just reducing our combat effectiveness. And so we need to find a way, and I think every person's different with this, where you say to yourself, ideally at the end of the day, it's 5 o'clock. I'm off duty defending the country now. I can worry about what I'm seeing in Afghanistan tomorrow morning at 9 when I clock in. And now I'm going to rest. I'm going to repair myself. I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to be a loving husband, loving father, loving child. I'm not going to be consumed by rage and frustration and anger 24 hours a day, if for no other reason than because that is the enemy objective.
Man, I tell you what, man, and just like you're talking about, man, you got to rest from these things, man, and there's things to concentrate on. This is why the Lord says, man, you got to renew your mind like every day. You got to renew your faith every day. Do not let your don't go to bed, you know, on your wrath. You know, it's like don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And these things take strength. It's like people, I think they assume things like this and they see it as weakness. It's like, no, man. Do you know how much strength it takes to like get over it?
Yeah.
That takes strength, man. And it's not my strength that I can rely on to do it. It takes the Lord. It takes the Lord's strength to forgive. It takes the Lord's strength to just, hey, man, let me just breathe and count to 10. It takes, you know, strength to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to go to bed angry. about this. It may take strength to just get up and turn off the news. Obviously, that takes a lot of strength because people aren't turning the news off.
No, exactly right. That's the single single most important thing you do is turn off the 24/7 news.
That's right.
Put it away. You know, and by the way, this just gave me another quick little insight. Mm-hmm. Many times the people I think who are most susceptible to what I'm talking about, the kind of friends I see who are just being consumed by this, those are the people who most clearly understand something like, you need to limit the amount of computer game time your kids are dealing with. You need to limit the amount of time they spend on their phone or their iPad. The people I'm talking to now are people who understand that it is not healthy for a child to do nothing but, you know, play on the phone. Comes a time you get 2 hours a day or four, whatever the case may be, and conservatives understand that it's not healthy to let somebody indulge in that as much as they want to. And so this is why I'm trying to turn this argument around. You have to be able to turn off the news in your head in the same way that you would expect a healthy child of yours to have a limited amount of time on these highly addictive devices that are fun and interesting and can be cool. But if you allow a child to live on the phone, that child's going to end up pretty messed up.
Indeed, man. And you know this. And when we look at all the fake news out there, which is evil news, is it any wonder why, you know, when we think of like the word of God going out there, we don't just call it the word of God. We call it the gospel for a reason. The gospel meaning the good news. That's what it means. And what is the good news? The truth. This is the report. That's as Christians, that's our job. Our job is to report. So our job is as the ecclesia, we're supposed to be the body. And that translates to meaning the church. The church isn't a system. The church is not a religion. The church is not some brick and mortar establishment that you go to. The church is the person. That's what the church is. Like, you know, when people ask me, you know, do I go to church? It's like, man, I am church, right? If when you're communicating this and you're making this report, that's what you are. This is the delivery of the good news in this time when we need it now more than ever. This goes back with God way back, even to the Old Testament, because when people came back and they gave a evil report or gave like evil news, fake news, God was ready to put people to death for this deceitful tongue. And that's what it was actually called, an evil report. The Hebrew word being debat, an evil report, fake news. God hates it. So turn
false
that
witness.
Stuff. Yes. Turn that. And you know what? And not only is, I mean, yeah, because it also amounts to meaning slander also, the slander, but the deceitful news. So when we talk about turning off the news, take a rest from it, right? Yep. It's one thing to be informed. Yeah, we want to be informed. But as I keep saying, Bill, you got to have a foundation and a filter to know what to read that from. Because if you don't, man, that stuff goes into your system and it poisons you.
Yep. And just to be crystal clear on this, I'm certainly not lecturing people. I'm mostly interested in learning how to do this for myself. Mm. I carry this around with me all the time. Mm. There's an argument to be made about your circle of concern and your circle of influence. Right. If you're concerned about things that you have no ability to influence, you're just plain wasting energy, time, and health. On the other hand, if you have an area of concern that is smaller than your area of influence, that means you can actually do something about it. So we need to realize that there are some things that are within our control. We need to work on those, and we need to work on them harder. And there are other things that are beyond our control, and those things we need to leave alone until tomorrow, when we can get prepare ourselves for another barrage of this stuff. This cultural war gets clearer to me every day. This is not a war of a maneuver. It's a war of attrition. Every day, I become more and more convinced that the entire strategy is to simply grind us down. And if you continue to stay on the front line and don't ever get a chance to, refresh yourself, then, you know, we're all going to go barking mad. I don't want that to happen. Mm. That'll do it for this edition of the Virtue Signal, made possible by the incredibly sane and very generous people who are the members of BillWhittle.com. And if you're not one of them, we sure would love to have you. If you want to just click on the Make a Donation button, that helps us an awful lot too. For Alfonso, Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle, and we'll see you next time here on the Virtue Signal.